I can't lie, though. Drake's got hits, you know? I don't really love him that much, but, you know, he's got hits, you know? And so you guys definitely should check this out. But, oh, my gosh, there were so many shots everywhere, you know? You know, made shots at, like, Metro Boomin, who is, like, predominantly, like, this big figurehead in trap music production for the so long. Like, had a very really funny, like, dismissive bar where, you know, obviously Metro Boomin is the one who's, like, incorporating all these rappers. It was his album to begin with. These rappers on, giving them all a platform to sort of diss Drake and sort of air out their beefs. But, like, he had a very funny, dismissive bar to Metro Boomin talking about, like, you know, get more love in the city that you're from. Metro, shut up and just make some drums, you know? It's just, like, kind of relegating him to, like, yeah, you're not on the level of us, like, rappers, you know, you're kind of the dude who's behind the scenes and whatnot. Like, you have no claim to this beef. You know, shots at, like, Rick Ross, you know, like, I might take your latest girl and cuff her like I'm Ricky. Can't believe he's jumping in. He's turning 50. Like, ugh. Gotta say, like, quite some shots being taken, you know? And so, yeah, I think it's got, like, the whole hip-hop scene up in arms, taking sides, you know? Low-key, I can see that, like, Drake's kind of in the lead here. I'd like to see the way that Kendrick Lamar's team retaliate. And emphasis on team, because, as you know, Drake was caught up in a big scandal where his, like, this is maybe, like, 6 or 8 years ago, probably when I was in high school, kind of still listening to hip-hop, caught up in a big scandal where, like, it was revealed that, like, you know, he doesn't, you know, totally write all his bars. You know, he's got a ghostwriter. His ghostwriter came forward, you know? I mean, and, you know, I kind of don't believe Drake came up with all of this. You know, there's some very clever, witty bars in here. I almost assure you he's got his ghostwriters working overtime to write these lyrics, you know, in the same way that I'm sure Kendrick's camp will retaliate in some fashion, you know? And so, it's so funny because the program right before me, Leslie from Typically Tuesdays, for the last couple of weeks been talking about, you know, I've only caught the tail end of programming, of Leslie's program, but isn't talking about, you know, Korean idol groups and, like, you know, that sort of culture things. And then this is, like, my version of that. It's, like, me catching up on rap beefs and whatnot. Speaking of, last week I was talking, also, this is coming back around, talking about how, you know, J. Cole issued an apology about his diss track, mostly because I think in lieu of popular opinion that, like, his diss track sort of flopped, you know, it was, like, not, you know, there was no passion, you know, I think is my argument, you know, it feels like he conceded too quickly, saying, you know, oh, that was corny, you know, like, I didn't need to do that. It, you know, Kendrick Lamar is a figurehead for hip-hop, like, we can't be, like, tearing each other down, which I agree, you know, like, conflict is never good, but, you know, like, it's hip-hop. It's all about egos. It's all about kind of these big characters, you know, as long as there's no real violence, I see no problem. And so I think it's just a lack of passion. The cherry on top is that he deleted his diss track, which is, like, what? There's, like, no passion there, you know? Like, I kind of want to see them, you know, rebuttal. I kind of want to see them, I want to see them butt heads a little bit, you know? And so that's a little unfortunate. And so no longer, as Cannabis says, it's no longer a Cole world, you know? It's Drake and, you know, well, I mean, Drake's got a bar in this song too, talking about how it's, like, essentially a 20 versus 1 where everybody's ganging up on Drake to some extent, you know, and it's kind of true. Everyone kind of had their shots at him, but, you know, I'd like to see how this unfolds because, like, you know, I think we've been, it's been a while since we've had some real rap beefs, you know, and so it's like the, you know, all's fair in love and war, you know, all's fair in love and hip-hop sort of deal, you know. I think I'm excited to see where this goes, you know. I think this is good for the scene, all in all. And so, yeah, those are my concluding thoughts, and you guys should go listen to it. I think it's an interesting another interesting discussion to have about how this track was leaked rather than like officially dropped. Like, you can't go and find Push-Ups, Drop and Give Me 50 on any streaming service. I think it was very meticulously and sort of, it was definitely leaked by Drake's team. And I don't really know if there's, I don't really know if there's going to be a point where this is going to be dropped on like official streaming services, but it's interesting to see how this is playing out through like Twitter, because I think it's very relevant to the like the, you know, I think that them dropping it and leaking it is very relevant to the medium nowadays, you know, like I think people don't anticipate records like they used to, you know. I'm thinking about like 2016 Drake Meek Mill beef where they're both actually dropping, you know, tracks on, you know, in their discography, you know. I'm thinking Drake's like back to back, you know. But I think it's an interesting discussion to talk about the medium a little bit, in that like I think that it was intentionally dropped on Twitter, dropped sort of through, you know, quote unquote leaked means, as it's like closer to the street, you know, closer to like right in the pocket of you know, of consumers, you know, it spreads like wildfire on Twitter when somebody leaks it. You know, I think there's like a bit of a, it becomes a little bit more commodified when, people feel like they have something that they shouldn't have, you know. I think about how, I mean, this is giving me so many ideas, but I think about how, in Playboi Carti's artistry, okay, I might be losing some of you guys here, but, you know, bear with me. I think there was a whole portion where Playboi Carti's records kept on getting leaked online, and his album, his, like, long-awaited album had kept on getting pushed back and pushed back, to the point where when his album actually dropped, his sound had changed completely. I think what I'm referencing to is there was definitely a point in Playboi Carti's sort of discography where he was getting notoriety as having like being a rapper with like a baby voice. His whole thing was like, yeah, you know, it was like kind of very like high-pitched, kind of like, you know, different you know, different artistic considerations than before. And that era of Playboi Carti totally exists, only through unofficial means. Like, I only know those songs through leaks that I've found on SoundCloud or Twitter or otherwise. And I think it brings an interesting discussion about, you know, artists engaging directly with their communities without the means of, like, you know, I mean, I assume there's like a lot of hoops to jump in through when you're posting things officially, like online on streaming services. You know, you probably have to like clear samples and stuff, and you know, there are stakeholders, may that be, who like hold the power of like what your records and discography look like. So it's interesting, and I kind of wonder if this like whole rap beef will play out through means of like leaking songs and on Twitter. And like, also I think it plays with the idea that like these are kind of sneak disses, and it's like, you know, rumors in the streets about so and so said so and so and whatnot, you know. So interesting to see how that follows. But I am gonna get to some more music here. I'm gonna play a quick PSA, but when we come back excuse me, I'm gonna have a Dog Day song called Hell on Earth here on CDSF 90.1 FM.
Attention, Punk Rock Nation. Join your host, Todd McCluskey, every Wednesday at high noon for the Blurred Crusade. The best in punk and post-punk on CJSF 90.1 FM. Each week, tune into a delicious mix of tasty tunage, proto, classic, and post-punk. The Blurred Crusade, Wednesdays, noon to 1 on CJSF 90.1 FM or CJSF.ca. Join us as we dust off the crusty vinyl and get blurred. Yeah.
We're grown-ups with the run-ups once more.
And welcome back. That last track was Camping in Alaska, Why Can't I Be Snowing, here on CJSF 90.1 FM. They're kind of like a cool, like, early Midwest emo band that I'm actually going to go see next month in Seattle with the boys, so pretty hyped for that. I'm kind of getting down to the bottom of my hour for this week. As you saw, it was like a little bit of technical difficulties between switching songs there. Kind of didn't realize that Spotify like automatically plays the song when you queue it up, but nonetheless, about to kind of wrap up for the week. I gotta go back up and, you know, start writing my paper. We got through some interesting topics today, talking about, you know, the future of, you know, the future of efficient studying, and out with the old, in with the new, 2 to 2x Bible study. Just kidding. And got through some of, you know, some talking about like the state of the hip hop beef right now. And so I hope that was entertaining for you guys all. And, you know, if you like what you heard this week, be sure to tune in again next week. I'll be back around the same time, 3 p.m. on Tuesdays. Enough here. Planning a couple more tracks for you guys. I'm gonna bring back an old favorite, as requested by my friend Eric. Really like this M Booty Spoon song. It's makes some trill beats. When I like my first week back on radio, he never forgot it. So here's M Booty Spoon, Chrome Spice. He goes by Martin Booty Spoon now. Actually, Martin Booty Spoon. Chrome Spice here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Enjoy, guys.
But she was my heart, so I let you. your mom had to kick a